So welcome to the seminar on five most potent forms of devotional service. So let me see how much you know already. Does anybody know one of the five most potent forms of devotional service? So I'll know where to start. Yes.
Living in the Holy Dham.
Living in the Holy Dham, yes. What else?
Worshipping the deities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Association
of saintly persons, very good.
Reading the scriptures,
especially Srimad Bhagavatam. And?
Chanting
the holy name. Very good. Very good. So you got all five. My last class, they only got four out of five. So, because they're living on the farm, maybe it's hard to study a lot. So anyway, I would read a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which explains these five. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shavan Maturavasa Shimurtir Share Shavan. One should associate with devotees, chant the holy name, hear Bhagavatam, reside at Mathura, and worship the deity with faith and veneration. These five limbs of devotional service are the best. Even a slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna. So some of you may have come to the, was it a 24-hour kirtan or a 12-hour kirtan, 24 here. So, no, 12-hour kirtan. Anyway, it was a nice kirtan. With Madhava Prabhu, I believe, 7-hour kirtan? More like 7.
Two.
No? Huh?
It was 2 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Oh, okay, that's 7 hours. So perhaps when you were chanting in that kirtan, you could have experienced a slight awakening of ecstatic symptoms or love of Godhead. So today we also want to increase our japa, our attraction for chanting japa. Many young people, they love kirtan, but japa is sometimes difficult to do. It's more difficult because it's more like yoga and you have to concentrate and you have to fight with your mind and so many things. And so today we're going to do a few different tricks. We're going to do a few different exercises, trying to bring our mind back, trying to help us concentrate while we're chanting japa. Now the goal of our seminar, of all these five, is to deepen our attitude, improve our attitude in japa, reading Prabhupada's books, association with Srila Prabhupada, approaching the deities in a prayerful mood, and also entering Vrindavan Dham, what it means to enter Vrindavan Dham. And we're going to discuss the Vrindavan on this earth, not Goloka so much, because it's a lot closer. And so if you can't go to this one, then it's going to be a lot harder to go to that one too. If you cannot be content to live in this Vrindavan, then it'll be hard to live in Goloka Vrindavan. And now it's especially difficult because there's a lot going on. It's being covered very, very quickly now, very rapidly. So today we're going to begin with chanting the holy name. And we're going to begin with a beautiful prayer to the holy name. Does anybody know the Kevala Astakam? Don't worry, I've got the words in case you don't know it. And we'll sing it together. So you can pass these out. This prayer, or these verses, are an explanation of one of the most famous verses that we hear from the Vedas. Harinam, 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 eva kevalam. Kalo nishteva, nishteva, nishteva. Gatir anyata. The holy name of Krishna is everything. Where's my glasses? So I'll sing one line and you can repeat. Mataram madarebhyapi Mataram madarebhyapi Mangalebhyapi mangalam Mangalebhyapi mangalam Bhavanam bhavanebhyapi Harinam eva kevalam more sweet than all other sweet things, more auspicious than all other auspicious things, greatest purifier of all purifying things. The holy name of Srihari alone is everything. Agamastam Aparyantam Sarvamayamayam Jagat Satyam Satyam Puna Satyam The entire universe, from exalted Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass, is a product of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The only thing that is reality, reality, again, I say reality, the holy name of Srihari alone is everything. Saguru Sapita Chapi Samata Vandava Pisa Diksha Yachet Sada Smarta Harinami Pakevala. That person is a true preceptor, or a true father, a true mother, and a true friend also, only if they teach one to always remember. The holy name of Srihari alone is everything. Nishvase Nahi Vishvasa. There is no certainty when the last breath will come and put an abrupt halt to all one's material plans. Therefore, it is wise to always practice chanting from very childhood. Holy name of Srihari alone is everything. Hari tada vaseta cha Yacha bhagavata jana Gayanti bhakti bhavena Harinami kevala Lord Hari eternally dwells in that place where truly exalted, spiritually advanced souls sing in the mood of pure devotion. Holy name of Srihari alone is everything. Ahadukam, ahadukam. Dukha, dukha, taram, yata. Kachartam, vismitam, ratna. Harinami, kevala. Oh, what a sorrow. What a great sorrow. More painful than any other misery in the world. Mistaking it is a mere piece of glass. The people have forgotten this jewel. The holy name of Srihari alone is everything. Diyatam, diyatam, karna. Niyatam, niyatam, vacha. Heard again and again with one's ears. It should be uttered over and over with one's voice. It should be perpetually sung and sung anew. The holy name of Srihari alone is everything. Chidikritya jagat sarvam Rajate sakala pane Chidanandamayam shuta universe seem insignificant as a blade of grass. It splendorously reigns supreme over all. It is full of eternally conscious divine ecstasy. It is supremely pure. The holy name of Srihari alone is everything. Beautiful prayer. And I'd like to discuss some of the verses, and you can help me out here. The second verse, how it says that everything we see in this universe is a product of the illusory energy. Everything from Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass. And the only reality is the holy name. Now, how is that possible? How can the only reality be the holy name in this world of names? How can it be? Has anybody understood that fact? Yes?
Holy name is not different from Krishna.
It's not different from Krishna, and Krishna is everything. Okay? Anything else? Any way else that it's the only reality? Yeah?
The beginning process of creation is the mantra sound vibration.
Very good.
Spiritual sound vibration.
Okay.
And then the mantra.
It all begins with the sound. And it all ends, Anavriti Shaddad, it all ends with sound too. Yes, feel free to sit on this side of the room as well. There's a lot of room over here. Yeah, so it begins with Om, and it ends with Om, or Hare Krishna. It begins with Hare Krishna. Lord Brahma heard the flute of Krishna, which is actually Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And it ends with sound, Anavriti Shaddad. It ends, the holy name is everything. It's the creation, it's destruction, it's maintenance as well. Okay? How else is the holy name reality, the only reality? In your life? Of course, in our life we have so many realities. So the holy name may be one of them. They may be one of our realities. But actually, when you come down to it, the time of death, you can't really take anything with you. Except the holy name. The holy name goes with you and takes you. The holy name transports you. There's a nice poster right outside this door here, and it shows how Golok, we're down here on this earth, and then there comes Vaikuntha, and then there comes Goloka. And right from Goloka is coming a little string. And what is that little string coming down right from Goloka Vrindavan? It's the holy name of Krishna. Golokera Premadan, Hari Nam Sankirtan. Okay, so we'll go to verse. Was that a lizard? Wow, I didn't know you had lizards here. Yeah. In Vrindavan, they're not allowed to speak. They're cursed by Radharani. So, from Mayapur, I know. So, verse 5, Lord Hari eternally dwells in that place where truly exalted, spiritually advanced souls sing in the mood of pure devotion. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. So how is it that Krishna dwells in the place where spiritually advanced souls sing the holy name? Has anybody had that experience where advanced souls are singing the holy name and you have felt the presence of Lord Krishna in that place? Yes. Okay, again, we go to the 7-hour kirtan, which in other places 24 hours and 12 hours. We'll go to verse 6. What a sorrow, what a great sorrow, more painful than any other misery in the world. Does anybody have the experience of chanting Hare Krishna and then sometimes for some part of your life you stop chanting and then you felt miserable? That happens sometimes. Or sometimes we're in a big difficulty and we forget to remember Krishna. But if we simply chant the holy name, we can easily get out of that problem. So does anybody can explain to me a little bit about this, how it's more painful than any other misery to mistake the holy name for something material, or to mistake it, to forget the holy name, to forget Krishna? Anybody have that? No, you've... None of you have ever forgotten Krishna, gone away. That's good. That's wonderful.
You might have some people have a car accident or something.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I was in a car accident and the Holy Name saved us. Oh, yeah, that's another way. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Anybody have that experience? Where the Holy Name came to your rescue in difficulty? I had so many times in my life, so many times, right from the beginning until recently. So, okay. It makes the entire universe seem insignificant as a blade of grass. When I first became a devotee, one of my services was 12 hours of Harinam. We go out at 10 in the morning and we go back at 10 at night. We used to come home at 6 for evening aarti and prasad and then go back out. because we didn't go to Mangalarti in those days. So we were up till 10, 11 at night. And then you just forget the whole world. You're just completely absorbed in the holy name. Does anybody have that experience? Even for a moment, even for a second, even for a half a second, where you forget the world and you're just chanting. Yes. The youth have that experience because they're absorbed in Harinam. Okay. So let's move on. This workshop, we want to make a relationship with Krishna in the holy name. Now, the whole purpose of our movement is to make a relationship with Krishna. How many of you want to make a relationship with Krishna? Oh, wow. That's inspiring. Now, my next question is why? Why do you want to have a relationship with Krishna, of all people? Yes? It's eternal. Okay, that's one good reason. One good reason. What other reason? Yeah.
It's very attractive.
It's attractive. Okay. Krishna is very attractive. It's eternal. Any other reasons? Why do you want to have a relationship with Krishna?
He's got the best sense of humor.
He's got the best sense of humor. Okay, yes. Yes, humor is very important for our lives. Yes.
Peace of mind.
Peace of mind. Yeah, that's also in Kali Yuga. Very difficult to have peace of mind. So only if we remember Krishna, remember our relationship with him, can we actually have peace of mind. Any other reasons why you want to have Krishna? Yeah.
He's the only person that truly loves
us. He's the only one that truly loves us. Have you experienced that? Okay. Yes. Yes, you have something?
He gives shelter.
He gives shelter. Okay, so many reasons. And if you just have a relationship with Krishna, then all your desires are fulfilled. Now, I have a little excerpt here from one of our retreats, Satchinandan Swami. Actually, it was this year in Varshana, Japa retreat. And he was trying to make us deepen our relationship with Krishna. So he said, our whole spiritual life depends on discovering our relationship with Krishna. It's knowledge of relationship that gives birth to love of Krishna. When you chant, you should think of the person whose name you chant. So when you're chanting, sometimes in kirtan or japa, do you ever think of Krishna? Or sometimes? Sometimes, yes. 50%, 50-50, 40-60. So he said, don't talk business with Krishna, talk relationship. Be there for him. Were you chanting connected rounds or divorced rounds? Sometimes we chant with connection to Krishna. And sometimes we're completely divorced from Krishna when we're chanting. So today we want to chant in relationship with Krishna. So we're going to have three parts to today's workshop. The first part, we're going to learn a little bit about rules for chanting, more like technique. And we're going to be meditating on Krishna, on the Maha Mantra, while we're thinking of the meaning of the mantra. So we'll be chanting and meditating on the meaning of the mantra. That's the first part. And the second part, we're going to do an exercise that will help us to remove obstacles, or anarthas. Anarthas are the dirty things in our heart. And we'll be doing a couple of exercises that will help us to remove these obstacles. And then the last thing, at the end, you'll get a reward. We'll be chanting on Krishna's smiling face. We'll be meditating on Krishna's smiling face while we chant. Oh, let's go over now. Yeah, Shyam Sundar from Vrindavan. See, because I come from Vrindavan. So you'll be meditating on Shyam Sundar at the end of this class today. But first you have to earn it. You have to work hard on your japa. So Sanatan Goswami in Hari Bhakti Vilas has given us some rules for chanting. And the verse goes like this. Mana sangharanam shocham haram mantra kichintanam avigatvamanir vedo japasam patihetava. In order to perfect your chanting, you need to cultivate these following six qualities. The first one is mana sangharanam. You have to control your mind, bring your mind back when it wanders away. And how to do that is by shocham, or purity. Purity means to follow the four regulative principles and eating, sleeping. It says, Prabhupada says in Bhagavatam, purity in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating leads to purity in action. Purity in action leads to purity in mind. So what this means is that what you do the day before or during the day will influence your japa the next day. So if you are acting as a devotee, following the four regulative principles, the next day your japa will be very nice. It will be very wonderful. It will be, you will be able to bring your mind back. You'll be able to concentrate better. If the day before you avoid the 10 offenses, we say the 10 offenses before we sit down and chant, but actually the 10 offenses we do the day before. We do during the day, we do the 10, we blaspheme, perhaps we do prajalpa, we say something about some devotee, or we may blaspheme, we don't blaspheme the scriptures, but we may forget, we may do one of the offenses. So only the one about inattention, that's the one we do while we're chanting. But the rest of them, we do the day before. So we need to bring the mind back, number one, by purity. And then silence, maunam. Silence means, what has to be silent? We have to be silent while we chant? Should we chant silently? The lizard thinks so, but I don't know. I mean, Prabhupada has advised us to chant out loud. So what does it mean, silence? What can this... The mind has to be silent, yes. Now, is it possible for the mind to be silent? Has anybody tried to make the mind silent? Yes, it's possible. Oh, very good. We have a yogi in our midst. It is possible. So how is it possible? By mantra chintanam, meditating on the meaning of the mantra. So you have to give your mind something to do. It can hear the holy name. It can hear each syllable. It can hear each mantra. And it's very important also to meditate on the meaning of the mantra while you chant, because it is a prayer. We are praying something to Krishna when we chant. So what are we praying? We are praying, what is the meaning of the mantra? Who can tell me? Yes?
Frees your mind.
Frees your mind? Okay, that's the meaning of mantra. What is the meaning of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare? Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. What is the meaning of that?
Please accept me and engage me in your service.
Please accept me and engage me in your service. Very good. So what our exercise will be that very soon. And the third rule of avyagatvam, patience. That means you're not rushing to finish your rounds. And sometimes we do that. Perhaps you have to go to work, or perhaps you have exams like these. These children have exams now. He told me all the youth have exams this week, so they might have a hard time coming. So you tend to want to finish your rounds quickly. But this is not good. You must be patient and chant quality rounds. And number four, anirvedo, steadfastness. Steadfastness means that you don't lose hope. Sometimes you may not chant as nicely as you want to. And so then you think, oh, what's the use? Why should I chant? Why should I even bother? Why should I try to chant nicely? No, we should not lose hope. We should keep on trying. So these are the rules for chanting. And we're going to do the rule. We're going to do number two. We're going to meditate on the meaning of the mantra. So this is a prayerful attitude. Srila Prabhupada said that the three words, Hara, Krishna, and Rama, are transcendental seeds of the Maha Mantra. Have you heard this lecture by Srila Prabhupada? It was one of the first recordings that was ever made, and it was in ancient times when they used to have records. They didn't have, this was even before cassette tapes. When I joined, we were listening to records. Do some of you maybe don't even know what that is, right?
They're considered vintage now, so people know again.
Oh, it's vintage.
Yeah.
Oh, they're doing it again. They're bringing. Yeah. Well, it's come full circle. Wow. And they probably sound better than the... except they get scratches on them. Yeah, okay. So, yes, we used to have records. And this was one of the first records that Prabhupada made. And now then they put into cassette, and then... Well, reel to reel, and then they put into cassette, and then now... And then it became on CD, and now DVD. So, our technology is advancing, and who knows what will be next. In my next birth, I don't know what I'll hear, how I'll hear Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, so the chanting is a spiritual call for the Lord and His energy to give protection to the conditioned soul. It's like a genuine cry of a child for its mother's presence. So some of you are mothers. You know when the child is genuinely crying for you. You know, so that is, Krishna is the same. He knows when we're genuinely crying for Him, when we're calling Him. And this is how to actually chant japa, to chant the holy name, like a cry of a child for its mother. And one of the verses in Shikshastra is an explanation of this, cry of a child for its mother, which describes our eternal constitutional position. Does anybody know which verse of Shikshastra? You say them every day, or some of you do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8. Number 5, very good. Ayinantatunuja kinkaram patita mam vishame bhavam buddha kripaya tava para pankaja stita tuli sadisham vichintaya. O son of Marjananda, I am your eternal servant, yet somehow I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms of dust at your lotus feet. So Srila Prabhupada, in a lecture, he said, when we chant, we pray, O Lord, energy of the Lord, please accept me. So he made it down to 3 words. Please accept me. Please accept me. Lord Chaitanya taught us we should simply cry and pray to Krishna, please accept me. So this vibration, Hare Krishna, Prabhupada said, is this. And if we chant very nicely, Krishna hears, he answers the phone call. We're making a phone call to Goloka. And he answers the call. And he comes to us. And you know what he says, Prabhupada said? He says, please accept me. So we're calling to Krishna, please accept me, please accept me. And then Krishna hears, and he comes, and he says, please accept me. So we want to be receptive to Krishna when he comes. We want to hear him when he speaks to us through the holy name. So now I would like to practice this. We'll do an exercise, chanting japa, and while you're chanting, meditate on the meaning of the holy name. It's a prayer to Lord Krishna. So when you chant, when you're thinking of Krishna and thinking of what you're saying to him, and this is more like the heart, actually. I think Radhanath Swami, he said that you chant with your ears, with your tongue, and with your heart in 3 ways. So pick up your beads, and hopefully you brought them, and we'll do a little exercise in chanting. So this exercise, we'll be trying to meditate on the meaning of the holy name while we chant Hare Krishna. We can start. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Shiva Sri Govardhana Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 I am. Stop now, and we will go to our next part of the program. You can try this in your japa. I'm going to give you many different things to do, so you can choose one of these things. Don't do all of them in the same day. In one of my seminars, it was in Melbourne, you know, after the first day, one lady came to me and she said, I did all of your prayers and I did everything in it. I didn't have hardly any time to chant my japa. So we're just going to give you many different things, and you can choose one thing, if you like, to apply it on one day at a time. So now we're going to move to our second part of our program, which is to remove the anarthas from our heart. We're going to sing another bhajan, and there will be an explanation of it at the same time. So these are two different things, so I guess. You might have to share it. How many copies? Here we go. Here's one thing. Nope, they're all for you. To keep. To remember. So you can say the prayer sometimes. And here's a second one. You know this song? So, the anarthas in our heart, these are for the men. It's the second page. No, there's one bhajan, and then there's an explanation to it. So does everybody know how the demons in Krishna Lila represent different anarthas in our heart? Has anybody heard that before? This lizard's been everywhere. Yeah. So this song, this bhajan, is describing many of these demons. So as we sing this bhajan, we'll be removing some of our anarthas that are in our heart. Just like Utana. Utana was the first demon. So did everybody get the second page? Somehow we have extra of this one. You have, yeah, we have one more. We have, you can pass to this one. From the back. Yeah. Okay. So just like Putana, she came to poison Krishna. She represents the cheating guru. The cheating guru gives milk, the nectar, along with the poison. So Putana was the cheating guru. Yashoda was the real guru. She gave only the milk. And another anartha is Shakata, Shakatashara. He's the cart demon. And he represents the anarta of the load-bearing mentality. Just like sometimes we chant very mechanically. We think it's a burden to do our sadhana. So this is this anarta. So these anarthas are demons in the devotees' hearts who are actually practicing Krishna consciousness. And we need to remove these anarthas. So we'll sing this bhajan, and after that, we'll be discussing them, and then I'll give you we'll practice it, and then I'll give you something that you can do at home that will help you to remove the anarthas. So I'll just sing the first four words, and then after that, I'll sing the bhajan. Harinam tua anika swaru Yashadanandana anandava paper, we've got the explanation. Thakurji's touchstone. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's touchstone, because if you sing this song, you can remove your anarthas from your heart. Of course, we're going to do more than that. But first, before we do our exercise, I'd like to just look at this paper here and see what are these, some of these anarthas here. We discuss putana, chinavartahona, indulgence in useless scholarship, dry reasoning, argument, controversy, aga, bhaka, mardana. Aga represents cruelty, violence, trouble to others born of envy, and bhaka, cunning, duplicity, deceptive behavior, hypocrisy. Then I'll go down to Kaliya Shatana, pride and envy, mercilessness, crookedness, maliciousness. So on the back, we have some prayers to Krishna. So what we're going to do is we're going to choose one of these prayers and say it before we chant our japa. And pray to Krishna, please remove this anartha from my heart. So I'll give you some examples. Kaliya Shatana, with his crooked motions and the sharp fangs of its wicked desires, the great snake of my mind torments everyone, including me. O all-powerful Lord, crusher of Kaliya, please punish the snake of my mind with your dancing. Please place on it the mark of your lotus feet. So today in our exercise, we're just going to say the prayer and then chant japa. But if you want to take it home and practice, which is something I did, then what it's nice to do is, before you go to sleep at night, you read Krishna book, you read the actual, the Leela, where Krishna kills the demon. And the next morning, when you wake up, before you chant your japa, you say, Krishna, please remove this demon from my heart. So I was practicing this for quite some time with Kaliya. I started with Kaliya because I had a problem with that, and especially pride. So I was practicing it in Mayapur, and one night I had a really wonderful dream that I showed something was happening in my heart. I dreamt that there was a festival, and the festival was happening. The scene was my heart. And there was a huge festival, and all the devotees were there, and we're having a celebration. And I could see my heart, and it was like a pincushion, like when you sew, and around it was like the coils of Kaliya, just stuck inside my heart. And so then... But the festival was that Krishna was there and he was removing Kaliya. He was kicking on Kaliya and removing it from my heart. And so everybody was celebrating because he was going out of my heart. So, yes, I felt that relief when I was doing this practice. And Prabhupada did want us to read Krishna book before we go to sleep. Because he said if you hear about Krishna before you sleep, you will dream of Krishna at night. So I found it did have an effect on me. So now, I'd just like you to look over the prayers on the back and choose one, and then we will just read this prayer and chant some japa again. And meditate, just meditate on the holy name. Just, you don't think of the prayer while you're chanting, it's just before you're chanting, not while you're chanting. But just to get yourself in the mood, then you say the prayer before you chant. You can start chanting as soon as you have read the prayer. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Guru Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasavi Govardhana Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Krishna. I am a little bit of a Okay. Pen stop now. Thank you very much. Now we're going to do another exercise to remove obstacles. We're going to meditate on the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. But before that, we're going to offer some prayers to Gaur Nitai, who so kindly consented to appear before us tonight and help us. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are the most merciful incarnations, so if we take shelter of them, they can very quickly help us to get free from anarthas. So first we're going to sing some prayers, 12 names of Nityananda and 12 names of Lord Chaitanya. And this will also help you in your chanting you say it before you chant. This is Nityananda Chandrasya Nama Dva Dashakam. 12 names of the moon-like Nityananda Prabhu. You might have to share on this. Nityananda Vatirtanja, Nityananda Vatirtanja, Vasudha Pranavalabha, Vasudha Pranavalabha, Janavi Jivita Pati, Krishna Prema Pada Prabhu,
Krishna Prema Pada Prabhu.
Nityananda, who embodies eternal bliss, the moon of divine madman, beloved of the life breath of Vasudha, husband enthusing Janavi with life, who bestows ecstatic love for Krishna, Lord and Master of the devotees. Padmavati Sutta Sriman,
Padmavati Sutta Sriman,
Shachinandana Purvaja,
Shachinandana Purvaja,
Bhavamata Jagachata, the dear son of Padmavati, of splendorous transcendental majesty, older brother of Mother Sati's son, who is maddened in overwhelming ecstatic emotions, savior of the universe, whose complexion is golden tinged with red. Shri Nityananda Chandrasya, Namadwara Shikam Shivam, Yaidam Padham Prata, Pratyutaya Patennara. That person who recites these 12 auspicious holy names of the moon-like Nityananda Chandra every day upon rising in the morning, Sakleshadahita Bhutva, Praknuyat Swamanaratan, Turnam Chaitanya Devasya, Karuna Pashanam Bhave. Such a person becomes free from all difficulties and attains all their most cherished desires. Very soon they become the object of Lord Chaitanya Dev's mercy. On the other side, we have Shri Krishna Chaitanya Dodashanam Stotram, Sarvam Bhattacharya. Chaitanya Krishna Chaitanya, Gauranga Dvijanayaka, Yatinandam Dinam Cheva, Nyasinam Chashiromani. Chaitanya, the living force, the all-attractive supreme living force, a fair bodily complexion, hero amongst the twice-born brahmanas, crest jewel of sannyasis who wander freely, who carry staffs, who renounce everything. Raktambara Tara Shriman, Namadvipa Sudhakara, Prema Bhakti Parascheva, Shri Shachi Nandanastata. He who wears red cloth, supremely opulent one, source of nectar in Navadvip, bestower of ecstatic loving devotion, delightful son of Mother Sochi. Dvadashaitani namani, Tisanyam yapatendara, Tasya vanchas sutisya, Bhakti shila padam puche. That person who recites these 12 holy names of the Lord 3 times a day at dawn, noon, and dusk will achieve the perfection of all their best desires and will attain pure devotion unto the divine lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Tulsi Devi has arrived. Haribol. Jai. Tulsi Marani ki jai. So, now we're going to do our next meditation, and that's going to be on the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. So I'll pass these out, and also, if you don't have one, don't worry, you can look up here on the board. We have also the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya up here. And also, you'll have to share. Do you need more on the men's side? Okay, does everybody have to share? Okay. Raise your hand if you can't see a copy, or else you can just look at the board. It's okay. If you don't have, it's okay. Yeah, open the door. Very hot. So here we have the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We'll just look at a few of these marks on the on this foot, on this side. You see the umbrella? The umbrella, there's some meanings on the back of this paper. This mark proves that those who take shelter of his feet are shielded from the incessant rainfall of material miseries. Then you see next to the umbrella, there's a line going up, upcurving line. And I'll just read the end of it. It reveals his feet can reach down to the lowest of fallen souls and deliver those who have taken shelter of him. If we hold on to the lifeline of upcurving line of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, we can go back to Godhead. Then you see that lotus flower. Underneath the lotus, there's a mountain. You know what mountain that is? There he is, right here. Giriraj. That's Giriraj. Yes. Usually I don't... Somehow he wants to be known today. Usually I don't mention that mark, but I think he wants attention. Okay, so we got this mountain here. That's Giriraj. And that's... Oh, you look familiar. Which temple did I meet you at? New Govardhan. Which... Where do you belong? Oh, okay. All right. Very good. So, New Govardhan, this might seem familiar to you, because we just did it here, but maybe you missed the first day. This is the first, the japa, japa session. Okay. Then we've got, let's see what else we have here in the back. Okay, let's move to the other foot. We've got the conch shell. This auspicious mark indicates those who take shelter of his lotus feet are always rescued from all sorts of distress. Just as during the arti ceremony, the conch shell is used to hold water that is offered directly after the fire of the ghee lamp. Similarly, his feet hold transcendental water that soothes his devotees from the blazing fire of material existence. Now, underneath the conch is the disc. This mark cuts down the six enemies of his devotees: lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and bewilderment. It indicates Teja Tattva, a principle of brilliance, by which he destroys the darkness of sin from within his own devotees' hearts. Now, is there any mark that you see here that you would like to know the meaning of, that you're curious about and you'd like to know a little bit more? Srila Prabhupada in a lecture has said, this was a lecture in Third Canto, where the marks of the lotus feet are mentioned, that the yogi should meditate on the marks. And Srila Prabhupada said that when these marks enter your heart, they're very bright. And they have the power, if you meditate on these marks, they have the power to also kick out all anarthas from your heart, depending on which one you meditate on. This, the thunderbolt here is next to the mountain on this side, on the bottom. That will cut the cut down the mountain of sin of the meditating devotee. So, are there any other marks that you're curious about that you would just like to know the meaning of? Raise your hand. Yes, Tirtharaj Prabhu.
The spear.
Oh, the spirit. That one is really wonderful. That one is also found in Radharani's. Actually, that's Radharani's mark. And if you meditate on the spear, then all mundane attachments are cut to pieces. So watch out. All mundane attachments. So that offense in the holy name, maintaining material attachments while chanting the holy name. The spear takes care of that. The spear is very good for that. It's not here. Okay, any other marks that you're curious about? The which one?
The brick.
Oh, that's a sacrificial altar. Yeah, the sacrificial altar. Okay, let me find out what that is. There's a very wonderful meaning for that. It's described that this whole universe is the form of Krishna. And when you offer, when you take something from this universe, or you take something to offer, the offering is Radharani. And they meet on the sacrificial altar. That's one meaning. That it's a meeting of Radha and Krishna. Krishna is the whole universe, is the ingredients, and the offering is Radharani, the bhakti, the devotion. Is when we offer something, we take something from this universe, fruit, flower, leaf or water, which is the form of Krishna. And then, but when we offer it, it's Radharani. So they meet on the sacrificial altar. And another meaning of the sacrificial altar is if you sacrifice your mind to Krishna, then the whole universe is nourished. If you sacrifice your mind on the sacrificial altar, like what we did today was kind of a mental sacrifice of meditating on the meaning of the holy name. But if you actually give your mind to Krishna, then the whole universe is nourished. Any other marks that you're curious about?
Peacock.
Peacock. Oh, that's an earring. Yes, it's Radharani's earring. And actually, but it's found in Lord Chaitanya and also Radharani. It shows that Krishna's ear is always listening to the sound of Radharani's ankle bells. The sound of her ankle bells, the sound of her voice, the rhythms of her poems, and the ragas of her vinas. So it's symbolizing Krishna listening for Radha, actually. It's a wonderful... It's found in Radharani's lotus feet and Lord Chaitanya's. These lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya are Radha and Krishna put together. So some marks are from Krishna's feet, some are from both, and some are from Radha's, and some are just Lord Chaitanya's own marks. He has some special marks, all his own, that neither Radha or Krishna have. Any other marks? Yes?
What about the turtle?
The what?
The turtle.
What's that?
Turtle.
Oh, karma. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's one of those marks. It's only for Lord Chaitanya. And the meaning is not given, actually, in the books. But we know that Lord Chaitanya, when he worships Lord Vishnu, his altar is in the shape of a tortoise. And also, the tortoise represents Adiras, or the highest, Madhurya Ras. The tortoise represents that. The tortoise incarnation represents Madhurya Ras, actually. Okay, any other ones you'd like to know the meaning of?
Fish.
Fish. Okay. Is that on here? In the back? No. Okay. So fish. That has many, many meanings. One meaning is that it's the sign on Cupid's flag, so it's a sign of surrender of Cupid, that he's given up hope. You know, if you meditate on Lord Chaitanya's feet, then Cupid's finished. Lust is finished. And so the fish, that's one meaning. Another meaning is that as fish cannot exist without water, devotees cannot live a moment without meditating on the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, Radha and Krishna. So these are, and it's also Matsya avatar, Matsya, fish incarnation. Any other marks that you'd like to know? Yes? The bottom of the left foot is?
Swastika.
Swastika, auspicious symbol.
Yes,
the swastika. I think that might be on here. Yeah, it's on the back. This mark signifies, for those who resort to his feet, all is well. It also shows nothing inauspicious could possibly remain for one who holds his feet to their heart. So this is the auspicious symbol used in Vedic sacrifices. So it brings auspiciousness. It's on the back of your paper. Oh, in the middle. Oh, that's an octagon. That's an octagon. You may, yeah, that has many, many meanings. Also, that you're protected. If you meditate on the octagon, you're protected in all the eight directions. It's got eight sides. If you meditate on this octagon, eight mystic powers. You're interested in mystic powers? Yes. Well, first you have to go through. Actually, Narada Muni got it. First knowledge, then mystic powers, and then bhava. That's the sequence. Then Aishwarya is the mystic powers. And then bhakti, bhava. Bhava comes last. And you might get stuck in the way if you get attached to the mystic powers. Actually, I studied Uddhava Gita, and it describes all, actually 18 mystic powers. There's the eight major ones, and then there's some minor ones, and then there's five, and then there's another five that are not very, there's 10 minor, and then there's another five that are not very important. And it tells how to get them in Uddhava Gita, for those of you who haven't read it. And at the end, at the end it says, but these are impediments to bhakti. So if you want bhakti, then it's not good to go for mystic powers. They're impediments. Okay, so now we're going to do our next exercise. You look at the side that has a lotus feet on it, and if you don't have it, you can look up here at this board. Choose one of the marks and chant to that mark on the lotus feet of Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya. Just choose one. The flag is a victory flag. And the rath is the chariot. Is a rath cart.
Thank you.
Okay, stop now. Now you're all going to get your reward after working so hard in your japa. We're going to meditate on Krishna's smiling face next. Actually, if you come to our Bhagavatam class, you'll hear all about it because Krishna's smiling face is Rasalila, 10th canto. But now we're going to actually see the form of Krishna's smiling face. And if you want to hear the explanation, then you can come to Bhagavatam class in the morning and hear Chittaraj Prabhu speak. I think it's enough for everyone. Maybe husband and wife can share. So I have these really nice little books straight from Vrindavan with Shama Sundar. Hopefully there's enough for... I think there might be enough. 18, 20. Nope, not quite enough. So husband and wife can share. Okay, if you have extra, then pass to the men's side. Did all the women get? Okay, pass to the men's side, and I don't know if they all got. Okay, pass them to the front if you have extra. So we have enough, actually. Okay. Well, he didn't get one. Everybody got? Raise your hand if you didn't get. Wow, just enough to go around. Very good. Okay. You got one? Okay. Raise your hand. No, you didn't get one. Raise your hand if you did not get. Okay, very good. Krishna provides. Okay, so our next meditation will be to choose one of these pictures and read the description and then meditate. Now on the first page, we have a picture of Srila Prabhupada, and then you can put a picture of your Guru Maharaj right across from Srila Prabhupada, your favorite picture. You can paste here. And... It says here, I bow down to the beautiful lotus feet of my spiritual master, by whose causeless mercy I have obtained the supreme holy name. He is offering me the service of the son of Sachimata, shelter of Srila Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, and his older brother, Sanatana Goswami. He is offering me the supreme abode of Mathura, all blissful abode of Vrindavan, divine Radhakund, and Govardhan Hill, and given me the desire within my heart for the loving service of Sri Radhika and Madhava in Vrindavan. So the first one, we've got a beautiful Shama Sundar here. I'll read the... And those are... We call those champa flowers. You have a lot of those trees here. The Lord's form is always youthful. Every limb and every part of His body is properly formed, free from defect. His eyes and lips are pinkish like the rising sun. He's always prepared to give shelter to the surrendered soul. And anyone so fortunate as to look upon Him feels all satisfaction. The Lord is always worthy to be the master of the surrendered soul, for He is the ocean of mercy. So we'll go to number four, Krishna Balaram. Dressed in a charming variety of garments, upon which their garlands rest, and decorating themselves with peacock feathers, lotuses, lilies, newly grown mango sprouts, and clusters of flower buds, Krishna and Balaram shine forth magnificently among the assembly of cowherd boys. They look just like the best of dancers appearing on a dramatic stage. And sometimes they sing. So then, number 7. All glories to Sri Krishna's splendid and fragrant lotus face, where the nose, jaw, lips, cheeks, chin, and ears are glistening petals. The tongue is the wonderful whorl. His handsome teeth are the filaments. His smile is the honey. His eyebrows and curling locks of hair are the black bumblebees, and his eyes are two Kanchana birds resting there. We'll go to the end, number 16. And you have Giri Govardhan in the middle here, a two-page spread of Giriraj. And then at the end, 16. On his mouth is a smile. In that smile is nectar. In that nectar is a flute. And in that flute is a nectar ocean of music. With the movement of the peacock feather in his red crown, splendid with pearls, he robs the jewels of our hearts and eyes. The splendor of his broad thighs embraces his yellow dhoti, and glistening bells decorate his hips. Necklaces of flowers, gold, jewels, pearls, and gunja decorate his inconceivably beautiful form. May this broad-chested Gopinath become the goal of our lives. And then you have the Jamuna River at the end, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the back. So you can choose one picture now, and you can keep these books. This is for you to keep. Yeah, from Vrindavan. So you choose one picture, read the description, and then you can chant. This will be our last exercise. We'll chant to the picture of your choice.
Thank you.
Okay, you can stop now. Now you'll be enthusiastic to continue tomorrow morning. You have different things you can do. Take to your home. And don't do all of them on the same day. You just do one at a time. Choose one thing to do. Not everything at once. Any questions on today's class? On japa, or anything about japa that you would like to ask? Yes.
I heard that Srila Prabhupada, one devotee asked, what should we think about when we're chanting?
Yes.
Srila Prabhupada mentioned, there's a question of thinking, we're just chanting. And
yes, hearing. You're just chanting. But also in this lecture, which I have, he said that you should cry when you chant and beg, please accept me. So, the question was, should we think of the Leela of Krishna? That devotee was asking, should we think of the Leela? And Prabhupada said, no, you just chant. But then, in some of his lectures, which I quoted the lecture, he did say, it is all right to think about the meaning of the holy name. That it's not exactly thinking, but it's more like feeling. Like a cry of a child for its mother, please pick me up. It's not exactly, but the mind does become engaged when you have that feeling, when you think, please accept me. When you think, we are saying a prayer to Krishna. And so prayer has meaning. Prayer has meaning. Of course, we can just meditate on the sound also, even if we don't think that's good enough. But we don't always just meditate on the sound. So therefore, it is a step up to also have the feeling for it as well. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you very much for the materials.
Yeah.
If anybody would like to also contribute something to us, you provide advice.
You can give it to Giri Rush.
Please bring something today.
And tomorrow we're going to have, tomorrow evening, the same time, we're going to discuss Prabhupada's books. And I want each one of you to bring one book tomorrow. And husband and wife, don't chair this time. You have to bring your own book. We're going to do an exercise in reading Prabhupada's books. And not only that, we're going to have a very mystical exercise tomorrow where we're going to ask Krishna a question from Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna is going to give us a personal answer to each one of you, according to your personal question to Krishna. So please come back tomorrow, and we will practice prayerful reading, and we will practice getting the answers from Prabhupada's books, especially from Bhagavad Gita tomorrow. Yes.
Can we ask more questions?
Yes, today?
Yeah.
Sure. We've got time.
Yeah. The first question is about the Maunam, silence.
Maunam, silence, yes.
I didn't really understand this concept that our mind is silent?
Yeah. Okay. So silence means not to think of anything but the holy name. It means when we chant, maybe you don't have this problem, but many of us have the problem that when we chant, our mind is thinking of other things. So it's not silent. It's like a two-track tape recorder or two-track thing. So one track is the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. The other track is, okay, what do I have to do today? And let me see what... Well, look at that person, what he's doing over there. What is... Okay, and let me see. It's really hot in here. This is the other track going on. And so that just means silence. So we have to make silent the second track and make it the same track. Put it all together in one track. It's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So the mind must chant along with the word, with the mouth. The heart must chant. The mind must also chant with the tongue and the ears.
A small comment to the question of sacred problem. I heard from devotees that when we chant and we follow in our mind the chanting, this is the best option.
Yes, this is best.
And the second best is if we can't focus only on Maha Mantra, we meditate on Krishna or our service.
Yeah, yeah. It's not as bad as planning your day, you know, doing something. Yeah, making... finding material solutions to problems, which happens. You know, sometimes when my mind goes off, then I get material solutions to my material problems. Because when you chant, actually, what's happening is you're connecting with Supersoul. And when you connect with Supersoul, you're connecting with a reservoir of intelligence. Like for myself, sometimes I do it, actually. I study because I have to teach Bhagavatam, Bhaktivedanta course, so sometimes I don't understand the verses I'm supposed to speak about. So what I do is I'll read a verse, and then I'll chant one round. And after I chant the round, I understand the verse. You know, now I understand. Then I get something, some realization. Often I put the chanting and the reading together, because I can't always consult people. You know, I don't have so much association with sannyasi, so then I have to depend a lot on Supersoul. And even in kirtan, sometimes I get, you know, I have the philosophical questions, and then I go to kirtan, and then I get the answers from the philosophical questions as well in the kirtan. Remember that before I started teaching Bhagavatam, Bhakti Vaibhava, I was trying to understand the first three verses. What is this? And I understood it's the meditation of Vyasadeva when he saw Krishna. He had the darshan of Krishna, and then his meditation is he expressed. Those first three verses of Bhagavatam. Anyway, you have to study that. You know, the Mangalacharan, the first three verses, Mangalacharan. So that expresses his realization of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway.
One more question.
Yeah, sure.
You were saying about removing anartha from our heart. Hmm. You can do it by meditating on some Krishna pastimes. Could you elaborate a little bit more on this habit that we have in the practice? Because
yeah.
My understanding is that it's not that I wake next day in the morning and I'm free from
all those things. No, I had to work on it for a long time. Yeah, I practiced this. I worked on it for a long time. In fact, it's not even... Sometimes I would read the Leela at night and sometimes I wouldn't. But before I would chant, I would just pray, please remove this anartha from my heart. Please kill the Dhenukasura demon. That's Balaram. Please kill the Bakasura demon. Please remove this demon from my heart. And then I just chant. And I don't think about it after that.
But do you have later like conscious realization how this one...
Yeah, yeah. Removed? That's what I was explaining to you. How I had this dream, and also in my life I was experiencing how you know, when you have some pride, then you raise your head and then it's smashed. Then you raise it and it's smashed. So I was getting the dream at the same time it was happening in my life. Then I said, okay, so this must be what's happening. This is, the Kaliya demon is being smashed. And I could see that it was happening in my life. And not only that, I was having a lot of experiences with snakes in Vrindavan at the same time. One time I went to sleep in my room in Vrindavan, small room, And I woke up, it was a noon, little afternoon nap. I woke up, there was a snake, a cobra in my doorway, in my house. And so I just chanted, Krishna! And then he ran into the next room, which was my son Govinda's room, but Govinda was not there. So I closed the door behind the snake. It was like, you know, 5 feet long. And I called the people from the MVT, and they came and they caught him. They didn't kill him. But they caught him in a bag and they took him far away. He was a Muslim gardener. He says, no, I don't want to kill because I'll get the karma. And so he didn't kill the snake. I was so happy because I didn't want blood all over my house. You know. But anyway, and killing a snake in my house, I don't think it would be very auspicious. But, yeah.
Just wanted to share one technique.
Mm-hmm.
Chanting to figure it out. My mind's giving me trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I focus on one rotation, Maha Mantra on each bead. I find that really helps.
One rotation. So you concentrate on the touch.
I concentrate on finishing the complete Maha Mantra on each bead.
Okay, finishing it.
So, and then you move on to the next bead.
Okay, you concentrate the end of the mantra.
Okay,
so you can try that. There's many techniques. So it would take, you know, about 100 classes to give all the techniques. But, yeah, I just wanted to give a few things that I've been practicing myself and I found helpful. Okay, any other questions or comments? Yes.
You know, you mentioned that Prabhupada has mentioned that when you chant and you call that Krishna, please accept me. And then Krishna comes and he says, please accept me.
Yeah.
I was hearing a Java workshop by Mahatma Prabhu.
Mm-hmm.
And he was mentioning that when you chant and Krishna comes, he asks you, so what can I do for you?
Mm-hmm.
And that means, you know, like, or what would you like to do for me? I mean, what service would you like to do for
me? Right.
So, can you relate somehow both? Or
well, actually, there's more to Prabhupada's quote than I told you. He said, when you wake up in the morning, you think, oh, I've got so many problems. What do I have to do today? He says, but no, we have only one problem. And that problem is how to accept Krishna. And Krishna, he says, and when you chant my name, Krishna says, if you chant my name, I'm yours. So he said, Krishna comes and asks, please accept me. So that was the whole quote. So please accept me means please engage in my service. Well, we're begging for service. Yeah, so what would you like to do for me? Here I am. Krishna's the enjoyer. But actually, Krishna's mood is also, what can I do for you? I mean, in the spiritual world, there's competition between the devotees and Krishna. Devotees want to serve Krishna, and Krishna wants to serve the devotees. So that's also there. So, but we want to become receptive to Krishna when he comes. You've heard about how you make the phone call to Goloka, and then he answers, yes, what do you want? And then, but our side, the line is busy. Right? The mind is somewhere else. So, therefore, and so much comes through chanting. Actually, my first japa reform I did 15 years ago. And just by hearing the mantra, so much change came. And I wrote down all the transformations that happened. I wrote a whole book, a poetry book on that, just on that one japa reform. And so, for 3 months, it was nonstop, just amazing connection with Krishna. And so, but then, you know, when you actually connect, then it takes you unawares, and you think, oh my God, I have to surrender. I really have to surrender to Krishna. This is what we've been waiting for. But when it actually comes, you think, oh my, you get a little afraid. There's a little fear there, but actually, it's very wonderful. It's very wonderful when you actually contact Krishna. Any other questions? Yes? No. Thinking.
One question.
which you teaching us relates directly to Krishna. Sometimes I have this doubt if I should think about Krishna directly or identify myself as a servant of his servants.
Right.
And see that relation not like personally, that oh, Krishna, I'm talking to you, but do it through the relation through the Guru.
Yes. Yes, we ask permission from the Guru. But then we ask permission from the Guru, and the Guru should not be forgotten. And before we chant, we should... Actually, that is very helpful. If before you chant, you offer obeisances and beg to the Guru, please help me chant. And when something wonderful happens, then you can thank your Guru for it. And so, yes, it's nice not to forget your Guru. But you can have a relationship with Krishna through the Guru, directly. Directly with Krishna. It's also, he's telling, chant Hare Krishna. And think of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita, Manmana, think of me, Krishna says. So we do that. But we always understand that we don't, it's our Guru is there. Without the Guru, we can't have this relationship with Krishna.
Can we be connected or have relation with Krishna there?
Yeah, we're connected. The connection is the Guru. And then we can have direct relation. It's direct because it's like the Guru is transparent. So when you see through the Guru and the disciplic succession, then you see directly. But at the same time, it's through servant, 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 through so many Gurus. It's parampara. So if you don't have the Guru and you try to connect, then it's like trying to connect to the electricity without having... You can have all the wires and everything, but if you don't turn the switch, then there's no connection. So because we have the connection of the Guru can make Krishna available to us, then we can experience Krishna directly. But directly means through parampara. So it's simultaneously one and different. It seems contradictory, but it's not. It's a wire. The wire is the parampara. So yes, but it's direct. We are seeing Krishna directly, but through this connection. I think it's like internet connection. If you have the proper server, and then you can get the connection. So the server is the Guru. He makes the connection. So then you can go anywhere. Goloka, Navadvip, Dwarka, Ayodhya, Vaikuntha, anywhere you can go, but then you have to have the server, the proper. You have to go through that. And then, when you get to Krishna, then he'll tell you, serve my devotee. Don't serve me, serve my devotee. That makes me happy. And if you go to a devotee, he'll say, serve Krishna. That makes me happy. So he's teaching us to serve Krishna. And Krishna is teaching us to serve the devotee. And so then, you choose. Because we serve the devotee. But he makes us just like there's an example of in Mahabharata, in Srimad Bhagavatam also, that when Krishna and Arjuna were, there was this Kandava forest fire. And Krishna and Arjuna were killing all the demons and all the animals who were trying to escape. So Maya Danava was trying to escape, and Krishna was after Maya Danava with his Sudarshan Chakra, and the fire was after Maya Danava. But he was a very smart demon, so he went to take shelter at Arjuna's lotus feet. So then, okay, finished. Krishna said, all right, I can't do anything now. You're at Arjuna's feet. So then afterwards, he asked Arjuna, what can I do for you? Maya Danava said. He said, so Arjuna sent him to Krishna, do something for Krishna. So he went to Krishna, what can I do for you? And Krishna said, do something for Yudhisthira. So, by the mercy of the devotee, you get to serve Krishna, and by the mercy of Krishna, you serve the devotee. And so in the beginning, it says that we are brought by Chaita Guru to Krishna consciousness. Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. By Chaita Guru, we're brought to the devotee. And then by the devotee, we're brought to Krishna. So both are together. Can't have one without the other. If you try to have one without the other, then it doesn't work. Of course, the guru is always with Krishna, so no question. Any other questions? Okay, tomorrow bring a book. And yeah, that's all you need tomorrow. It's a book. And a pen if you have a pen. A little paper if you have paper. Okay? Oh, glorious to Shri Prabhupada.